Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Have you ever had to sign a form at the doctor's office so that you could send your records to a specialist? That form isn't just more paperwork. It's part of HIPAA, the 1996 law that created stronger privacy for medical patients. HIPAA made it so patients control your own medical records. Your file can't be released to any person, company, or employer without your okay. HIPAA was never designed to protect medical institutions like hospitals or nursing homes, but a new article on ProPublica gives examples of how HIPAA may be doing just that, more than protecting us patients. And it may be getting used incorrectly by some medical providers. Charles Ornstein just published this article called "Are Patient Privacy Laws Being Misused to Protect Medical Centers?" And he joins me now. Hi, Charles.
Hey, Brian.
Remind us, what does HIPAA stand for?
HIPAA is the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. Quite a mouthful.
Oh, one of those P's is not for privacy. And before we get into some of the examples that you write about, every patient is required to say they've been notified about their rights under HIPAA. That's why it seems like we sign over and over again. What are the other common HIPAA releases someone might sign?
Well, there's a lot of protections built into HIPAA. One of them is that you're entitled to a copy of your own medical record. So that's a great thing that for some people, they didn't have a right to see that until this point. So you sign this when you want information to be shared with a loved one, like your parent or a child or a sibling, and you give permission for them to go ahead and do that.
And it covers the privacy of medical records like test results, doctor consultations, a patient's general file. It's a good thing, right?
Absolutely.
So where does the problem come in?
The problem comes in when institutions use HIPAA as an excuse to for a whole lot of things. So we saw several cases that we cited in the article. The first was an interesting case out of Springfield, Missouri, in which a hospital threatened to send to jail a mother who was taking a picture of her son visiting an audiologist at the hospital. The second one was a nursing home in Daytona Beach, Florida, where the nursing home turned away a request from police who wanted to investigate an alleged rape.
So let me play a clip, an audio clip having to do with one of those stories, because this is really eye-opening, ear-opening. We've been talking about people recording their encounters with the police lately. Well, how about encounters with medical providers? Charles's article talks about three instances of medical professionals citing HIPAA and using the law as a way to manipulate patients and law enforcement. And this first example happened in a Missouri hospital earlier this month. It's one of the ones he just mentioned. When a mother taking photos of her son was detained by security and threatened with jail time, a security guard pulled Mandy Kay aside and told her the photos of her own son were in violation of HIPAA as she recorded the encounter on her phone.
Per legal and HIPAA, no one is allowed to take any type of photography, video, audio, or still pictures on hospital property.
Even
if it's like of your own child or whatever, it's just how the federal government, how their regulations are. How many pictures do you have on your phone right now that were taken on property?
I don't know.
Okay. Could I see those, please?
No.
Okay. Here's what's going to happen. If you do not cooperate, I'm going to have to escort you off the property.
Okay.
We will trespass you, and they'll probably fire you as a patient.
That's fine. I'm already just going to withdraw from Mercy. That's okay.
Okay. I need to see your identification, please.
Are you security? What's it for? I'm going to leave, so.
It's for legal. I need to see your identification.
What kind of legal purposes?
You're being trespassed for violation of HIPAA.
I didn't know I was trespassing. I had no idea.
Well, I'm informing you now you're being trespassed. So if you come back on the property, you will be detained and taken to Green County Jail.
Wow, Charles.
I know. Wow.
Tell us more about that story. What's the background there? What's the context for that exchange?
Well, the woman was taking her son for a hearing test, and apparently the—
Is this a minor son, by the way?
A minor son, yes, exactly, where the parent would have the authority under HIPAA to, you know—
Make all the decisions.
Make all the decisions, exactly right. And apparently the audiologist was concerned because previously the mother had taken a photo of her son and the audiologist's child was in the picture, which has nothing to do with HIPAA. But I think what this audio points out is that so many people at all these healthcare institutions think they are an expert in HIPAA when they probably have not even attended even a 30-minute sort of class on what actually HIPAA is.
You think that was a misunderstanding?
There's no question. HIPAA does not say that you cannot take a picture of your child.
But the bottom line here – and I want to invite listeners. If you're a patient or a medical professional, are you happy with how HIPAA protects confidential information, or have you run up against unintended consequences or even manipulation of HIPAA for an institution's own purposes? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for Charles Ornstein from ProPublica. Bottom line here is it seems that you're asking if some of these stories are purposeful misinformation, medical providers trying to either cover up mistakes or stop us from knowing things, or if there's genuine confusion and error when medical staff incorrectly cite HIPAA privacy regulations. Do you come down on one side?
I feel like it's being used as a shield, as a crutch, as a sword, as anything it can be used for. In some cases, medical institutions just simply cite HIPAA because they don't want to be bothered. I've heard from so many of our readers that they've encountered their own stories, and it's remarkable.
And we'll hear from some listeners as people are calling in. But one of the cases you write about in the article seems to fall squarely in the purposeful misinformation category. You say many employees of the Department of Veterans Affairs, of all things, have been discouraged from reporting wrongdoing within the VA because to do so would naturally cite specific patients, which the VA categorizes as a violation of HIPAA.
Right. And HIPAA includes provisions that allow for whistleblowers to cooperate with government inquiries. It was never intended to sort of block the government from investigating either itself or other parties. And yet, you know, that's exactly what the labor union that represents government employees alleged in a letter to the general counsel of the agency.
How common do you think that kind of misinformation is?
I think it's routine. I think that folks who try to blow the whistle on poor medical care at their institutions, whether it's complaining to the medical board or the nursing board, they do face retaliation. And often HIPAA or patient privacy is cited as a reason, but sometimes they come up with other reasons.
Helena on the Upper West Side, you're on WNYC. Hello, Helena.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. A lot of people aren't reading these HIPAA policies for several reasons, in part because, you know, it's in legalese, it's long, and they're going to their doctor for another reason. But if they actually looked at it, they might be, you know, really shocked and upset. There are exclusions to keeping your privacy private, your information private, such as, you know, if the federal government asks for national security or for protection of the president, there's actually an exclusion in the Mount Sinai Beth Israel Roosevelt HIPAA policy on that, and it's shocking. And they claim that they are keeping your information in other instances that they're partially de-identifying it. But when you look at what their information are giving out to people, including your date of birth, not just your age, and your zip code, then programs can actually re-identify you, and mm-hmm. this information gets out. And the
you know all this because somebody had a particular bad experience with it?
Actually, you know, there's been reporting on it, and if you, you know, want to do a segment, like Bloomberg reported on actually re-identifying people based on small bits of information that got out about them, and shocked. You know, it's happened, I think, in Washington, where, as part of course, the government, the state, sell some of this information.
Right. And Helena, I'm going to leave it there and get a reaction to it, and thank you very much. And this is almost the equal but opposite concern, that while HIPAA may be getting misused, as you report, to cover up things that medical institutions don't want people to know about, maybe it's not protecting people's privacy as well as it's intended to as well. I don't know if you have anything to say about Helena's content, or that's just really is for another segment with another reporter.
I think HIPAA is a tricky area. You know, for example, if an athlete gets injured in a high school football game, you know, is that considered an athletic injury, or is that considered a patient privacy violation? So there's a lot of issues issues that are tied up in HIPAA, and they tried to strike a good balance as far as what the protections are. But I think on both sides, people are going to come up with reasons why they're upset about it.
Miriam in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Miriam.
Yes, good morning. I live in the Lower East Side. I'm 71 years old, and one day I went to a standing appointment I had with a rheumatologist at NYU Langone. I got to the desk, and they were in new offices, and they said, well, you have to sign this new HIPAA form. And it was a one-pager, and I said, well, where's the rest of it? And they said, oh, you want to see that? And it's 12 pages long. And I said, yes, I do, and I read all 12 pages, and in the 12 pages were such items as, we can share your information with commercial interests, we can use it for fundraising, we can use it for teaching, we can use it to sell to drug companies, and it was a very, very long list.
Right. I'm glad you brought this up, because one of the things that we sign frequently with respect to HIPAA, and probably don't give it a second thought because we're on the way in to see the doctor and whatever, is a HIPAA release so that they can share your medical information. Right, Charles?
That's right. And they are required to give you a copy of that release. So every time I go to the doctor and sign a HIPAA release, I leave with a copy of it. How often do you actually read that? But yeah, one of the concerns early on was that hospitals were using the information to fundraise for the hospital, and patients were found that really jarring.
Chris in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you? I'm an attorney, and I was a medical malpractice attorney for a very long time, a defense attorney. I represented doctors and hospitals. And first of all, what the woman just said about you can use it for fundraising, you can't use it for fundraising without a waiver. That's a big problem for a lot of the hospitals because they raise a lot of their money.
Did you say without a waiver?
Yeah, you have to get the patient to sign a waiver.
But she was being asked to sign a waiver. That was her story.
Oh, okay. I was listening to one that they put me on hold, and I only heard part of it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that the reason they don't want you to take pictures is it's inherent in HIPAA, or take video. You know, they use it against the patients in a way, because the very fact that you're present in the hospital or in a doctor's office is considered confidential. So suppose you were to take a picture of somebody in the emergency room, like, say, of your child, and there's somebody in the background, and you show it to them and say, oh, I noticed somebody I know in the background in the emergency room. They're not supposed – people aren't supposed to see that. But the flip side of that is they don't want you taking pictures of recording in the hospital because they're concerned about medical malpractice claims, and that if you were taking video or taking photos or taking an audio recording, that you would be able to use it in a medical malpractice claim. And in the very same context, when you request your medical records from the hospital, before they send them to you, they will have them reviewed. And if there's things in them that are not the way they're supposed to be as far as the record keeping is concerned, they'll have them corrected.
Chris, thank you very much.
That's hardly comforting, right? So the idea that if you're having a child and you want to take a picture in the hospital, as I've done, I mean, that has never been questioned. If you're wanting to take a picture of a loved one who's about to pass away, you know, these are things, moments in life that can't be replicated, and most hospitals make allowances for it. And in fact, it should be noted that the hospital in Springfield, Missouri, is now reevaluating its own policy.
The one other case in your article that we haven't touched on yet comes from Florida, where police were investigating the possible sexual battery of a patient at Daytona Beach Health and Rehabilitation Center. That's like a nursing home, right?
Exactly.
And representatives for that facility declined police requests for interviews with employees. Where did HIPAA come in?
HIPAA came in because the hospital or the nursing home indicated that the police would require a subpoena in order to get access to this information, and that they contended HIPAA required it. In fact, the head of the nursing home patient group in Florida said, you know, he's never heard of this thing happening before. And in fact, the nursing home regulators in Florida as well felt that this was sort of taking HIPAA and using it as an excuse sort of in an extreme way.
Can we get one more story on the table here from a listener? Tammy on the Outer Bridge. Oh, Tammy hung up. All right. Tammy was on the Outer Bridge crossing, which I until recently thought was named that because it was in an outer part of the city. But it's actually named after an old official and engineer named Outer Bridge.
Wow.
So what do you hope will come of your article?
I think we need to continue discussing patient privacy. I think it's taken for granted. People don't read these releases. Hospitals continue to use it and say HIPAA, and the people who don't have training in it use it as an excuse all the time. But patients do have a right to their own medical information and to control that information, and they should be, you know, exercising that right.
Charles Ornstein, his article on HIPAA abuse in ProPublica. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Up next, Anna Sale, host of our Death, Sex, and Money podcast, with some instructive tales about engaged and married couples who did or didn't figure out how to combine their money. Stay with us.